Parker, we did it. We came, we saw, and we conquered spring training, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Dude, we're in Arizona.
Man.
Like, you flew from Chicago to Phoenix. Sure I picked did. You up. We got an Airbnb, and we spent the last 2 days in what basically equates to baseball heaven.
That's honestly like the best way to describe it. I don't even know where to start.
No,
I don't, because we got in here. First off, went to a fucking Suns game right off the bat.
Okay, first off, before we even start talking about fucking baseball, what on earth? I blame you for this. Oh, first of all.
First off, calm down.
I blame Secondly, you. Why would you let me talk you into bringing us? Why would you let me talk us into bringing us to a Suns game?
Fair point. Full blame on that, because my dumb ass said, yeah, sure, let's go to a Suns game.
Let's go to a fucking basketball game.
Because that sounds like a great
idea.
Two
teams neither of us care about, and a sport neither of us cares about.
No, because here's what happened. We went to the game.
Yep.
We were tired as all get out.
We were both exhausted. I had driven 5 hours, and you had flown, what, seven?
Seven? No, four. Like four. No big deal.
Well, like total travel time probably. Total travel time. About 7 hours.
Sure.
Yeah, so we were both been traveling all day.
We left in the middle of the third period. Or third quarter period. I don't know. We're not basketball people.
Not even the middle. It was like a minute into the third quarter.
You're probably right. It was the middle. We left knowing that the next 2 days were going to be just a marathon.
Well, yeah, that was the idea. It was like we knew that we were going to be, like, if you can't tell in the video, hi, I'm super fucking sunburned. I sound like shit because this is my flu game. I know I've said that on like four different shows.
I was going to say.
My actual flu game this time.
It's like your flu year, really.
I feel like shit. but we had 2 days where we knew we would be on our feet. We'd be running around. We'd be doing so much.
Yeah.
So I think I stand by the decision to leave it alone and to leave the Suns game early. We actually ended up leaving, of the five sporting events we went to, we left three of them early, four of them.
Yeah, and just to be clear, not very early.
No.
An inning at most, probably, except for tonight.
We'll get to it. If you're listening to this podcast in the middle of spring training, you know what spring training games are like. We stayed for the good part, right? Like,
correct.
We got our money's worth out of those spring training games.
That's right. But we end up going to the Suns game, right? We come back, we get a good night's rest, and then Camelback Ranch Wednesday morning. Okay, I don't know that there's enough words to describe how Parker and I were feeling when we walked onto the grounds of Camelback Ranch. Saying it was like our baseball version of Disney World is not too strong of a statement. I felt so goddamn giddy.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever had that feeling in my life. It was the coolest thing. Man.
Even as we were pulling up, I was like, I was doing like the foot, like the shaking in your seat in the car. Like I was like, we parked, we like the littlest kidnest stuff.
Oh my God.
Where it's like
yeah.
you drive by the player's lot and you're like, wow, look at all the nice cars. And like, we pulled up. It was so funny. So I don't know if you noticed this, but I did. We haven't talked about it since. As we pulled into our parking spot for the first time at Camelback, there were two players that clearly late to practice. Like
must have been
because they went barreling into the parking spot.
Correct.
Like right behind us.
Yeah.
In an old like beat up pickup truck, and at first we both looked back like, are those players? And then, like, it became apparent, like, they're young, athletic-looking.
They had bags.
Yeah. They were wearing, like, basketball shorts and flip-flops. So, like, clearly these guys are players. So I thought it was hilarious that, like, we watched a couple players probably wake up late. They probably are roommates during spring training, wake up late and show up late to practice, judging by the way that they showed up.
Yeah. But that was the coolest thing about it, right? Like, going there, it's different watching.
Humanizes it.
Yeah. It's different watching, like, spring training highlights, catching it. Wherever you watch your team and hearing about all their spring training stuff going on. When you're there and you get to see the routine, the practice, we were close enough to hear the dialogue between the coaches and the players.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt so much more real to me that when I go back and watch spring training coverage, knowing like I know exactly where they're standing, I know exactly the type of shit they're doing on a daily basis, it just makes it so much more real for me. If at all possible, it has heightened my fandom. If you could believe it.
No, I'm with you on that. We've been trying to figure out how to frame this the whole weekend.
And we're still not going to do it.
We're not going to be able to. But
not going
to happen. One, we keep trying to, like, is the place bigger or smaller than we thought it would be? And we, like, landed on it's both.
Yeah.
That, like, the complex is so much bigger than you think a spring training complex would be.
Right.
It's, like, 20 fields.
It's a lot.
It's like 10 for each team, almost.
And I'll tell you what, it's like... Well, first off, we did go to Camp Buck Ranch. Obviously, for those of you who don't know, White Sox spring training facility, Dodgers spring training facility, right. They share it. Like you said, they're kind of a Dodgers side and a White Sox side.
It's like there's a river running down the middle.
Yeah.
Watch the YouTube video. We're going to put out at least one, if not a few, videos of like footage and stuff that we got going around the Camelback Ranch campus. There's literally a river separating the Dodgers side from the White Sox side.
Yeah, right, right. And about... $300 million. But regardless.
7,000 fans.
7,000 fans. We'll get into that.
You're very aware of which side you're on.
I'm very aware. this is the bed we made for ourselves. But it is one of those things where everything was close as far as like the fields and the facilities for each side.
Yeah.
But the actual grounds
were huge.
The sheer real estate.
Yeah, it was sprawling. Like it was we did not walk all the way to the end.
No, we didn't.
At any point.
No.
It was just so far. Like, it was like at that point, it's like the one guy rehabbing an elbow injury on like field 10. Right. You're like, all right, we don't need to go see that guy.
No, not
at all. Because they hold like, we realized also when we got there, we had forgotten that like AAA camp is going on.
Yeah.
It's right there.
It was like
a field away from big league camp.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the whole like back half of the complex was used for.
Yeah.
So back to what I was saying is like, it was huge. But the part that was smaller than I thought was the distance between things. Like big league camp is like park in the parking lot. It's like 150 feet. To the building where you change, and then it's like 300 feet to the field where you're going to do infield drills and take BP.
That's right.
And it's like, wow. And then on the way there, you walk by about 50 batting cages. Like there's a row of batting cages. And then probably my favorite
you
touch. You
mentioned this like 10
times. I mentioned it like every day, a couple times a day. My favorite part about this whole experience was that there are fields that are only the infield.
Yeah.
It is home plate, to the like end of the infield dirt ends, and there's like a foot of grass, and that's the whole field. There is no outfield. And there were so many guys doing base running drills, doing infield. There was guys doing bunting drills on fields like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was the coolest, like, as an infielder, I was like, I don't need the rest of the field.
That's right.
Infield's the only important part of the field. It was cool.
You know, and seeing, for me, seeing the drills on those fields, I loved being able to hear the dialogue between the coaches and the players because,
oh my God,
like
bunting drill?
Yeah, we saw a bunting drill where this guy went to put out a bunt. He didn't get the bunt down the right way. The coach was like, hey, bring the bat in, bring your arms in.
He like yelled at him.
He's like, bring the bat in. Bring your arms in, bring the bat in. Come on, let's try this again. And he went ahead and did it, landed the bunt perfectly, and the coach was pumped.
Yeah, like
give me a high five.
Give me over here and give me a high five.
Like that's awesome. Like that is that's the shit you think about when you're like in Little League or in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and these you guys,
wonder,
man.
Like, you wonder, you know, we talk about all these things so abstractly.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they signed a new pitching coach.
Right.
He's a good people guy. And those are words that have meaning.
Yeah.
But they don't mean shit to us. They mean shit to the guy who is really fresh out of high school, insecure about his mechanics, and he shows up and he gets coached hard rewarded hard for his hard work, and that is a priceless asset to have as a coach.
Coaching matters, man. I've always said the difference between good and bad baseball organizations is coaching in a lot of ways. It just is.
Absolutely.
I can guarantee you the Los Angeles Dodgers have a better coaching infrastructure than the Los Angeles Angels.
Yeah.
Bar none.
Yeah. It was also like pretty apparent. That part of it was so apparent because for like the bunting drill that we just described was a Dodgers coach.
Yeah.
I didn't witness any moments like that from the White Sox.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying they're not happening. I'm not saying they're not happening. But, like, I do think that if that is an acceptable thing that happens frequently on the Dodgers side, then that's probably part of the reason why they've been so successful over the last few
seasons. It's definitely a piece of it, 100%.
You know? 100%. I'm not, like I said, I'm not saying it doesn't happen on the White Sox side.
We didn't see that, of course. But there was... Man, I got to talk about the cool experience we had today. We went to Camelback Ranch.
Yeah.
In the morning, both days.
We spent both mornings.
Yeah.
We got there at 9 o'clock in the morning as soon as the gate opened.
Right.
For the parking area. Not today, but yesterday. And then today we showed up a little later because we realized yesterday that they didn't even start walking out onto the fields until like 10.
Correct.
So we showed up at like 10 today.
So we were sitting there today. This morning we did something different where we went ahead, or at least I started this, by going down to like the walkway, because there's a dirt walkway between the clubhouse for the White Sox and to the backfield. And the players are going back and forth, right? So went ahead and planted myself there today, and you were kind of doing a number of different things. You were remedying yourself really at this point.
Yeah, I was struggling, so I had to run to CVS to go get like Dayquil and Theraflu. Gatorade hydration.
Just take one for the team, really. Just find it through.
Dude, at that point, I was like, oh no, this might be a really bad day. But we're good now.
It ended up being a freaking awesome day.
We powered through.
So I'm sitting there waiting. And you gotta remember too, like you're down there and there's like fences that line this walkway, and there's like people sitting there with binders of cards, getting autographs, calling out to the players. Like it's a cool environment, and we're all buddy-buddy. It's all very nice over there. And I'm standing there. I got like these like collectors to the right of me with binders full of cards. I got these kids to the right of me who are just, I love seeing the kids get into it.
God, the kids were so cool.
Honestly, my favorite part of that today was being there watching those kids get so excited about it. That's baseball.
Honestly, nobody's. Guys who probably will not make it past Triple A.
Correct.
Making Children's Day. I don't know who number 76, last name Young, is on the White Sox.
Yep.
We got to figure out who the fuck that is. That guy signed for like 10 minutes.
100%.
He stopped at every kid.
Every kid.
He shook every hand. And you could tell that he was like not a big deal because none of the collectors asked him. You could tell who was a big deal because the collectors would notice them before they even got through the tunnel.
That's right.
But only the kids cared about this guy, number 76, last name Young, and just a class act, just a classy guy.
Yeah.
Cause those kids are not going to remember who he is, but they will remember being at spring training and getting an autograph from a player.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And watching the players come through was awesome. Like for me personally, like I don't really get starstruck. Like that's not my style. Right. Like if I want to have like meaningful interactions with these guys and just show them how much I appreciate them. Like with Chris Getz today.
Yeah.
We ran into Chris Getz, dude. I'm going to remember that forever.
Yeah.
Chris Getz, I called him over and I was like, Chris, shook his hand and was like, dude, thank you for what you're doing. Love what you're doing with the team. Just thank you, because he's turned this thing around. He's going to turn this thing around. He's approaching the White Sox differently.
Like the prior management group probably would not have made the Garrett Crochet deal, or at least in that manner, or gotten the haul they got.
No. I mean, you gotta, like, for people who are into our teams as much as we are, like, those small interactions, the sick fucks.
That's what I've been saying all week.
Yes.
You have to be a sick fuck to sit leaning up against a chain link fence, watching nobody's do infield drills, and just super engrossed in it, commenting on how they're doing. Anyway.
No, 100%. And because of that, and because of us being that way, like those small interactions, like I don't want to put a camera in his face. I don't want to have him, hey, can you do an interview or can you sign an autograph? Like, dude, I just want you to know, like,
let me shake your hand.
This team means everything to me, and I appreciate the work that you put in because you care about it just as much as I do. And that
just
matters,
seems like the kind of guy he is. It seems like that's all a fan wants to do is like know that the team cares as much about itself as you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like Chris Getz has proven over the last, you know, what has it been, 2 years now?
Yeah.
Yeah, been 2 years. We're going into season three.
It's going into season two.
So it's been like over the last year, I mean, Chris Getz has shown that he clearly cares about the organization. Now, at the end of the day, where does that come from? Is it because he wants to, you know, be a well-established executive and work for, you know, whatever organization, whatever capacity someday? Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The point is, he's doing it, and he's doing his best. Like, these are that was the thing we said it earlier. It humanizes these people.
It does.
Because they're people. They're human beings. And you can see the, like, very human, like, social anxiety of being asked for an autograph in the young kid's face.
Yeah.
And you can see the excitement in their face when they're asked for an autograph. And you can see, like, kind of switching gears, the fervor from all the Japanese fans that traveled from across the Pacific to show up in Arizona and just see Roki Sasaki walk down a tunnel.
Guys, I don't think I can really put into words how incredible it was to see, number one, the amount of Dodger fans, mm-hmm. but number two, like, I think you said it, like, it's like Beatles energy.
Yeah, right? They feel like the Beatles.
Is what it is. Like, yep. I've never seen anything like that. Like, for all the shit that people give the Dodgers, right. They're a well-run organization, they're exciting, and they have every reason to have fans gravitating towards them. And that was completely reinforced football experience this week. It was awesome. Like, I walked into there going, after the first morning, going like, holy shit, am I a Dodgers fan? Like, I felt the vibe.
Yeah, hard. No, it's contagious. It's so contagious. And, like, we went to the team store 47 times over the course of the last 2 days. Yeah. And I only ended up coming away with this shirt. I think it's the best shirt that was in there.
Cool shirt.
You came away with that freaking sick quarter zip and quarter
that
hat. Quarter zip,
that hat. Yeah, yeah. Got new clothes everywhere.
Like, you walk into that Dodgers team store and the enthusiasm of the entire Dodgers organization just, like, hits you. And you see the Japanese Ohtani jerseys and all the, like, gear and, like, merchandise. Like, I mentioned this to you, but, like, I love that the Dodgers gear is very, like, designery. It looks very designer.
It is.
Like, it's super cool. That, like, grabs you and you're like, oh, that's a cool shirt. Maybe I could get that. And I remember I'm a Red Sox fan. This is Dodgers gear. When am I ever going to really wear this?
You're right, right, right.
But, like, what I'm getting at, that energy is so cool to see exist in early March in Arizona.
I know.
You know, like, know. It's those are the sick fucks, man. Those are the guys that, those are the guys, the people that show up and no ball, man. Like, we were at these games listening to the people around us talk, just rattling off every little detail about their team. Like, some 55-year-old woman that you would probably walk by in the grocery store and never think twice about is just an encyclopedia of Dodgers knowledge.
All right. I want to put a pin in that because I want to come back and ask you about that specifically.
Yeah. Okay.
Before you do that.
I know
that,
where you're getting
before,
at with that.
Yeah. Before we do that, though, I want to kind of go back to what you were saying because, like, if you're watching this, you're probably a baseball fan already. If you're not and you're new to the sport, welcome. We love you. I cannot recommend anything enough to a baseball fan than to get to spring training.
Yes.
It humanizes the experience. My love for baseball, like I said, got deeper as if that were even
possible. It felt like a pilgrimage.
It did. It did. It humanized everything. And it, like, I feel closer to my team having this experience.
Yeah, it is a more... Yeah, honestly, you know what I'll say? It's a more authentic baseball experience. Because you're here, like I said, watching guys just take the same ground ball five times in a row.
Yeah.
You're not here watching, you know, Rob Lowe sit in the front row at Chavez Ravine and, you know, the World Series on the line. No, you're watching Freddie Freeman take an at-bat that means nothing and treat it like it is game one of the World Series.
That's right.
And what makes him different from the other guys that are working out? Because, like, you know what's interesting? I don't know if you noticed this, but I noticed this, and especially I notice it in hindsight looking back. All the big name guys that you would be excited to see and, like, oh, wow, that's Joey Gallo taking BP. They were doing the least talking and shooting the shit. Like, it's business.
They're serious. They're serious about this.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, I love Chase Mydroth. He was a Red Sox prospect, came over in the Garrett Crochet trade, and he's taking some grounders to second base, and he was kind of shooting the shit.
Yeah,
with all the guys on the field, which more power to you, dude.
Yeah.
He's like 20 years old. He's in a brand new organization, and he's honestly playing pretty good ball on the field right there. But he was like shooting the shit with all of his buddies. Meanwhile, you look over literally one field to the left, and Michael A. Taylor is treating like the get a jump off of first base stealing second drill like it is game seven of the World Series.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can see the difference in the approach to everything they do.
You do. And that's something that as a fan, you're just not gonna get anywhere else. And it's going to be very hard for me not to want to make this pilgrimage every single year, man.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, this is a dream. I don't know if I'll come back here before I go to Fenway South
and
go.
You have to.
Go to Florida.
You absolutely have to.
I have to go to Florida.
Yeah. And honestly, even if we do this again, I think that's the next
play. We might
play
need
for
to
us.
Go to Florida. Especially, I mean, we talked about it next year. We got the WBC, which is going to be playing in Miami. So if we did a whole like Florida swing.
Yeah.
Granted, Tampa and Miami are like nowhere near each other.
True. That'd be a multiple day swing.
Yeah. But it would be fun.
We could
figure it out. This actually started off as like I hit Anthony up after an episode recording one day and was like, do you know that the WBC qualifier is going on in Arizona this week? And he was like, oh, no, I didn't. And then we looked at it and the logistics of what games we were going to go to versus where we were going to stay was like a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So then we were like, wait.
Hello.
What are we doing? It's spring training.
Yeah. Let's go to spring WBC. Training. What the hell are we doing?
Like, yeah. I'm so happy we came to spring training.
I am too. WBC. And I mean, it was a classic. Like, I'm not going to get Randy Jackson's autographs. I'm like, not going to go to spring training.
Exactly.
Like, dude, you're going to ask me, what do you think was going to happen?
Because it started as like, let's go to the WBC games, and then it was like, oh well, there's only like one game a day. So what are we going to do during the mornings? Oh, what if we went to a spring training game? Oh, they're really far away. Wait a minute, it's fucking spring training.
Yeah. So why are we not just doing that? It was the best thing we could have done, honestly. And we had so many very cool, unique experiences over the last 2 days. Like, honestly, like, guys, we went to four different games.
I don't know if you guys have consumed 28 innings of baseball in 2 days. It's a lot of baseball. Not going to lie. By that fourth game, third inning of the fourth game, I was done.
Fair. And part of that because the game we just came from at Sloan Park in Mesa – fucking cold.
It was cold.
Windy
cold. As shit. The Cubs are doing a great job replicating Wrigley Field.
That's exactly what it was.
It was cold. Yes. The dimensions were the same.
Yeah. Parker. All right. I want everyone to know.
Oh, boy.
That we left Sloan Park tonight, and I heard possibly the best thing I can ever hear from another human being from this guy.
Okay, so... a little bit of backstory. I was just saying, like, I was complaining, and I didn't say this because I didn't know if we were going to go here yet. It was cold. It was windy. And the baseball fans that we sat next to and all around us at Sloan Park were annoying. And I don't mean to say Cubs fans are annoying. Let me explain. Mm-hmm. As we walked out of the game, I told Anthony that my anecdotal take on Chicago baseball is that the fans we sat near at the White Sox game knew ball better than the fans we sat near at the Cubs game. And I'm talking about like people getting way too excited about or way too invested in their team winning the spring training game. People more concerned about, like, I don't know, just a little, like, birds landing on the field in Minnesota. Like, I don't know. It was so weird. People doubting whether or not Shohei was involved in the whole Ipe Mizuhara scandal.
It was weird.
It was just
surface
odd.
Level.
Yeah, surface level. Like, no fault of anybody.
But not getting the bigger picture.
People
of
leaving
why
their
we're
seats
all here.
Every 30 seconds.
Literally every 30 seconds. Every 30. Like, the people next to us, I think they were up more than they were down.
Yeah.
And they just didn't get the bigger picture, which led to you kind of confirming this with me and really asking about it.
And I brought it up to him. Like, he did not prompt this for me at all. Nope. I was like, I felt this. I didn't want to say it in Sloan Park. But, like, I felt like the gritty grinder nature of me as a Red Sox fan that I feel like my fan base embodies is closer to that of the White Sox than it is the Cubs, which I think is the nicest way I can put it.
Yeah, I mean, and don't get me wrong, like, I was thrilled to hear this, not because I want to shit on the Cubs, right? Like, those of you who've listened to us before, I'm a recovering Cubs fan. I was a Cubs fan.
Well, okay.
I grew up a Cubs fan.
I said this to you in the car, but, like, I never understood how someone could go from being a Cubs fan to a White Sox fan. This coming from somebody who, until I was, like, 9 years old, not even 9 years old, because I was a Red Sox fan when 04 happened.
Yeah.
But, like, until I was, like, 7, 8 years old, I was a Yankees fan. I remember for a couple years, I had Yankees jerseys. Mm-hmm. My mom and my stepdad were Yankees fans, and my dad was always the Red Sox fan. And I remember just being like, I'm done with this like feeling of elitism surrounding Yankees fandom. And my dad always like presented it to me as like, when you want to feel like you earn your victories, you come over here in Red Sox land and you let me know.
He was right.
And he was right.
He was right.
I genuinely feel better about being a Red Sox fan than I think I would if I was a Yankees fan. And I think I get that same energy from the Cubs. This is going to be, I hope nobody watches this episode because we're going to get so much kickback for that.
Let me clarify, or not clarify, but add to it. Like, that is not to say that Yankees fans or Cubs fans in general are like this. I'm sure
there are
100% Yankees and Cubs fans.
They're grinders,
that
man.
Are grinders too, that love the sport, and we're friends with them, right? Like, of course, 100%. Yes. Having said that, you look at the vibe, the aura around these teams, it is different. Like,
it's corporate, man.
It is. Like, this is
corporate.
There's two reasons really why I went from being a Cubs fan to a Sox fan. Number one is, when I went to Sox games, it's exactly what you said today. I had better baseball conversations with people I didn't know at Sox games than Cubs games. And two, I was getting priced out of Cubs games.
Yeah.
Because the Cubs games, as much as they want to like make a family environment, like, I got two kids, you got two kids.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's very expensive. And I felt...
Dude, I'm telling you, I get it. I'm a Red Sox fans have the highest cost per game average for a family.
100%. And I'll tell you what, like, I just feel like the Sox organization, the fans, are just more my kind of people. It's about going there, enjoying the nuances of the game, you know, shooting the shit with your fans, and not going to a big party at Wrigley Field.
No.
Which I feel like is what it is.
And it's okay to feel like you're going to a big party.
Sure.
But not like a mixer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's I think maybe a better word.
I felt like
we were at a mixer tonight.
Sure. I think that's better.
And that's not better. How I want to feel in a ball game. I want to feel like I'm watching a ball game. I don't know. Like, nobody around us felt like they were engaged in the ball game. Meanwhile, and we'll bring this back around to Royals versus Mariners last night.
Oh, God, that game, guys, man.
That was one of the better baseball games I've ever seen.
Absolutely. We were hooked every single pitch.
Yes, and we showed up a little late. We showed up, it was 1-0 Mariners.
Yes.
1-0 Mariners.
Yeah.
And it was back and forth. You know, Bobby Witt had a couple knocks. One of them was a double. He's stealing third. Like, guys are getting thrown out on the base paths.
Joey Weimer hit a homer.
We got to see Jack Caglione take first base. It was so cool. And, like, those fans were into it. The Mariners fans to my right and the Royals fans to my left. Everybody was into it. And, like, you're allowed to be excited when your team does well. And, like, you can be excited when your team wins a spring training game. It was just the weirdness I was alluding to earlier at the Cubs game was, like, I don't know, it was a little too much of, like, they need to come back and win this game. I was like, that's not what spring training's about. Like, I want to see Pete Crow Armstrong take two bases on a pass ball.
Oh, that's...
Which is what we saw right before we left the Cubs game.
That was so freaking cool. You had PCA... on second, who is undoubtedly the fastest guy in baseball, I would place a bet on that right now.
He's right, yeah.
Probably him it's and like, Jaron Duran.
It's like, I mean, it's one and two, 1A, 1B.
Yeah, so PCA is on second, pass ball, and this, I mean, his eyes and instincts, he had that red
the ball
right away.
He was running before the ball, like, actually popped into the air. So the ball, like, it was like a dirt ball that hit the catcher's glove, and then popped straight into the air.
Yes.
And when the ball hit the dirt, PCA was gone.
Correct.
He wasn't stealing.
No. Full speed from midway between second and third, went immediately home, knew he was getting that run.
The second he ran, he had scoring.
It's amazing.
On his mind. Yeah.
Like, it was, you got to realize,
a baseball play, man.
Well, you got to realize, so cool. Not many teams have a guy like that.
No.
That just doesn't happen.
No, and even the guys who are, like, putting up really high stolen base numbers, like a Shohei's not going to do that. That is risky physical play.
It is.
You know, you don't put $700 million on the line like that. Ronald Acuna Jr. might do it, but then he'd probably miss a season.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, PA is so cool. I love that kind of, cool dude. I love that kind of energy.
For sure. Baseball game, for sure. What,
one thing real quick before we move on. I want to say, with this whole, like, fan base conversation, that it is really easy these days to shit all over the Dodgers fan base and
it
to
is.
Call them entitled and to call them not real fans and bandwagon fans. Let me be the first to tell you.
Not even close. No.
We sat in a section full of people with encyclopedic knowledge on their ball.
It is incredible.
They knew everything. And like even the guys who didn't, even the guy who was like, there was one guy who asked who the new rookie pitcher from Japan was, and somebody had to tell him it was Rookie Sasaki. That guy, though, knew who Miggy Rojas was.
Correct.
That guy could tell a good play from a bad play and, like, clearly loved the game of baseball and maybe just gets busy at work and couldn't follow the free agency market. Like, you don't have to follow the offseason from minute one to minute zero to, like, be a baseball fan. I don't think that that's a – I'm not trying to gatekeep baseball.
Well, that's the thing about baseball is, like, I think it's probably why I love it so much is there are a million entry points into this sport.
And a lot of people just watch from Wild Card Weekend on.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you do, great. Welcome.
Welcome.
Love that. I mean, it's one of those things where I don't expect everyone to be an expert in baseball. There are people like you and me that have lived and breathed it all our lives.
Yeah.
We know our shit. We know our history. We know the nuance of the game. That does not make us better than any other fan who's in it because they want to watch a game once a week. You know what I mean? Like, and we met so many different people this week that fall on that spectrum, and they're all the same. They just love their team.
Yep.
That's base level what it's all about.
Maglio Ordóñez. That's a baseball name that I haven't heard in a while. We've been doing this all week. We've been saying random players.
We have been doing that all week. And
talk about a White Sox guy.
Talk about a White Sox guy? Are you talking about...
No, I'm saying like Maglio Ordóñez.
Oh, no, talking about White Sox. Oh, I thought you were telling me to bring up a White Sox guy.
No, 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 I'm saying like that's future, a White Sox
like
guy.
Like future White Sox legend Bobby Dalbec, because you're a fucking...
Dude, okay.
I've been shitting on Bobby Dalbec for 48 hours.
So this started... Hours. This whole thing with like naming random players literally started with my fascination with Bobby Dalbec. He was, I think...
Think.
I think that Bobby Dalbec, I can't say he was done dirty because he wasn't. He was given every opportunity in the world.
Yep.
The Barry Bonds of AAA. Mm-hmm. 35 home run guy in AAA. Super fast, decent defense. I think he could be a good big leaguer. And I liked him as a ball player.
Okay.
Anthony Weaver's falling asleep. So I got really excited when I saw him at the White Sox Brewers game. And one thing that became very apparent to Anthony about me this past week was there is nothing I love more than obscure former Red Sox, or not even former Red Sox, former Red Sox organization guys.
Yes, yes. Like
in baseball
like
at large.
Quad A. Like, let me explain this. Let me make sure everyone understands this. Parker is the biggest fan of mid-ass players. That's what it is. That's what it is.
I will not accept this Bobby Dalbec slander.
That's exactly what it is. Like, literally.
The former Red Sox record holder for most consecutive games with a home run does not deserve that.
What else has he done other than that?
Really good 2021 second half.
What else has he done other than that? Is he still on the Red Sox?
Be handsome.
Be handsome. He's a beautiful man.
He's a beautiful man. 6'3", 220 rock solid pounds, driving the ball all over the ballpark.
And let me tell you, when we were at that game, when we were at that Sox game against the Brewers on Wednesday, no one was making a sound in that ballpark.
Except and then me.
Bobby Dalbec.
Let's go, Bob.
Up, yeah.
To the point where Bob looked at me and smirked.
Yes.
The second at bat, when I did that, the second at bat, because nobody's there to fucking see Bobby Dalbec except me. I forgot he was on the team until he came out of the dugout, and you pointed him out. Oh, yes. You were like, hey, former Red Sox guy, Bobby Dalbec. And I don't think you expected me to be like, Bobby Dalbec.
No, you would think I just pointed out, like, Sandy Koufax.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Like, no.
I reacted stronger to Bobby Dalbec than you did probably to Jim Tomey.
Yes. I'm also a fairly mild-mannered person. And this guy is freaking out about, like Pablo Sanchez over here. Like, I don't, what's happening? So,
Bobby Dalbec is standing on deck. I didn't notice he was there. Anthony points him out. I got super excited. So the next half inning, he leads off the inning. And I'm like, let's go, Bob. Come on, Bob. And he didn't react at all. And then the second time he comes up to the plate, he again was leading off the inning.
Yeah.
And I did it again. Because I'm not patronizing the guy. I'm genuinely a Bobby Dalbec fan.
Even though that totally sounds like what you were doing. But okay.
But I was like, let's go, Bob. Come on, you got this. And he like looked up. Because it was the second time he'd heard the same thing from the same place in the stands, and he like smirked at me. And let me tell you, that made my week. I love that shit.
You want to know what didn't make his week though? This is funny, and he's totally butthurt about this. He won't say it, but he is. He went and got his medicine today, and I was on that walkway at the White Sox camp, and who's on the White Sox now? Well, former Red Sox top prospect Brayden Montgomery is on the White Sox. He's part of the Gerrit Crochet trade. Here comes Brayden Montgomery walking towards me. Gave him a fist bump. I was like, hey, Brayden, great to have you on the White Sox. Hope you have a good year. Thanks, man. You have a good day. And it was awesome. It was so awesome.
So jealous.
And the first thing I thought about was like, damn it, Parker. You had to leave.
You know who else you saw? Fucking Cam Boozer.
Cam Boozer.
Another obscure Red Sox.
I like, that is a, he is a perfect example of the guy that you just want to see like be successful, just want to see. Man.
If you don't know about Cam Boozer's story, he was like, he was a prospect. He was in the minors. He hurt himself, or he got hit by a car. Hit by a car, broke his back in two places, left, was out of the game, was a shop teacher at a high school. Oh my God. And then like Dennis Quaid in The Rookie, he just like started throwing one day and they were like, dude, you're still touching 93. Like you should see what's going on. And he, you know, reached out to an agent, got a tryout, got signed to a big league deal or minor league deal, worked his way up through the Red Sox system, and was a serviceable left-handed reliever for the Red Sox last year. And now he's in the White Sox. And I genuinely hope he becomes a very good reliever for you guys.
I sure hope so. He's such an easy guy with a story like that to root for. Like, yeah. I love shit like that. And I mean, that doesn't happen in other sports.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, it really just doesn't.
It doesn't. Like, nobody is getting signed from a basketball court, you know, pickup game in New York. No, nobody's getting signed to be a wide receiver from, you know, the Turkey Bowl. As much as we love, as much as we love our family Turkey Bowl, you're not getting signed from that. But that's a Cam Boozer, man. And that's really the thing. There are more professional baseball players in at least the American Major League of Baseball than there are in the Major Football League. You know, like there's more professional baseball pitchers than there are professional baseball or professional football running backs. Yeah. Like,
no,
there's a lot of rosters need populating, man. And if you got the patience and the work ethic, you can do it. And I love that. I love that. Cam Boozer's story is awesome.
Yeah, I love that. I'm very excited to see what he's gonna do. I want to talk about the Dodgers for a second.
Yeah.
Particularly the game we were at this morning, because the whole time we were sitting there watching that Dodger game, I kept thinking like, this team is unreal.
Yeah, the Los Angeles Michael Confortos.
On it, Michael Conforto went three for three
with a double and two singles.
Solid like contact.
All hard hit balls.
All hard hit. And we were talking about if that team has a guy like Michael Conforto giving you 270 with 25 homers this year on a high end, obviously.
Yeah.
They're winning 110 games.
But that's the kind of guy that makes the difference on a fringe team.
Correct.
If the Dodgers have that kind of a guy on top of their lineup,
yeah,
it's fucking hook, line, and sinker for the rest of the
game. Think about it this way. Who do you know you have? Shohei, Mookie, Freeman. Keep going. Teoscar Hernandez.
Yep.
Tommy
Edman.
Tommy Edman did a bomb today. We're going to Conforto's in there.
Max Muncy.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. We're okay. Cooked. Will Smith hit a bomb today.
Like, I mean, what an interesting situation to be in. And we were talking about this today, too. Like, what makes them incredibly interesting right now, and as a Dodger fan, I'm on top of the world, is they have 25 pitchers, number one.
Yeah.
They can take
We got to see Dustin May today.
We did get to see Dustin May. He was a kid in the fucking candy store
today. I love Dustin May.
Dustin May is fantastic, and he pitched like a beast.
He pitched really well.
My God. Yeah.
Especially, he was carrying a 3.5 ERA coming into that outing.
Yes, and he had one hit through about four innings.
He was good. Really well. I think he went 3+.
Yeah, he did. When we were talking about it, I mentioned, like, they're in a position where they have all these pitchers. They could trade a Bobby Miller or a Dustin May.
Yeah.
And restock.
Kirby Yates. He's the odd man out of a bowl. Imagine a world where Kirby Yates is making double, what is he making, $12 million, yeah, something like that?
Three or four closers.
And he's the odd man out in this bullpen because he didn't pitch that well today. And he's aging. No. So, I mean, this could be. On the outs here for him.
But if you're in a position where you're trading him or other starters, you could just get prospects and just recycle this thing and keep going and going and going. Yep. And that makes the Dodgers, honestly, the best team in baseball, not from an on-field perspective, but from a developmental perspective, just a full organization, how they run their business is awesome. And saw that today.
That's what I was saying earlier. They have like a form of equity in their players. They have so much talent that you can trade, you can multiply that talent. Because if you trade known quantities for unknown quantities, there's a lot of scenarios where you end up getting more than you gave.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers are just a prime position for that. Because what if we see them with a 12-game lead in the division come July? Like, yeah, you can part ways with a reliever for a couple prospects.
That is not out of the realm of possibility, honestly.
Yeah, you could sell at the deadline and win the World Series this year as the Dodgers.
Correct. I think you could.
And set yourself up for the next half a decade.
Yeah, I think so.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Absolutely nuts. We got to see so much good baseball. Like,
we really did.
It was a fireworks show at the Dodger game today. So many home runs, good defense. Mookie Betts playing shortstop, which is like
a wonder of the world. The guy is just the most athletic player in baseball.
He's a specimen.
He really is. And we were talking about this a lot too. Like, we got to realize when you're at spring training and you're seeing these drills, folks like us are going to pay attention to the mechanics, the jumps, the reactions. And I think we, this week, have a better appreciation for, oftentimes you hear, pundits or folks talking about, you can just move them to third or move them to first or move them to second. Guys, that's not an easy thing to do.
No.
Like, seeing these guys' reaction time to a ball at a shortstop or a second base even, like,
The mountaintop catch that we just saw in the freaking Royals-Cubs game that we just came from?
Yes. Like,
there are less than this many people that make that play.
100%.
Like, 100%. And that guy happened to be the one that's playing that position at the moment to make it.
Well, think about it this way. Like, we talked about this. Like, when you're playing shortstop through high school, through college, in the minors and majors.
And that's what all these kids are, by the way. They're all shortstops.
Oh, of course. Every kid wants to be a shortstop. Yep. Every kid wants to be Derek Jeter, obviously. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're a shortstop. All those years, you're shortstop. That is muscle memory. That is secondhand nature to you. You think less at that position when you play it for years. If you say, "Hey, shortstop, go to second base," that's new muscle memory. That's new reaction time. That's not being used to playing that position. And guess what? When you put someone out there and they have to use the brain a little bit more, there's more room for error.
Yeah, they start making mistakes.
That's just how the body and the brain work in baseball. Like, it's not as easy as it seems. And we saw a lot of evidence of that this week.
You start to notice, like, the guys out there taking grounders, dripping sweat at a position they already know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think about what it would take to take, a first baseman and turn him into a third baseman or vice versa.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, that's such a different skill set. And, like, physicality plays into it. Like, we talk all the time in Red Sox world about moving Devers to first base or moving him to DH. Rafael Devers is not as tall as Tristan Casas, and Tristan Casas is going to have a better or an easier time reaching the ball.
Correct.
On all these wild throws that these incredible infielders are making to him.
Correct. And you put Rafi there at DH, is he going to succeed? Probably, but there's also a mental component.
Yeah,
to
he's
being
also
a
human being. Correct. Who is now being told that he's not good enough to play his primary position.
Correct. And he's thinking about his future and his value, but he's also thinking about, if I'm batting once every 1.5 to 2 innings, what the hell am I doing in that downtime, right? Like, going to the cages in between innings, right? Like, it's not, you have to prepare differently.
Right.
Physically and mentally.
Absolutely. And then you look at, like, to tie that back into, like, the coaching thing we were talking about earlier, you look at the presence of a guy like Dave Roberts.
Oh, who, man.
Like, everywhere that guy went,
what a dude.
In camp, you knew where he was because he's such a personality and he brings that energy to every interaction he has.
Yeah.
And, like, he would walk around the field and the people around him would straighten up and, like, they would talk to him and, like, he would engage his players. Evan Phillips was throwing a bullpen and, like, there was a noticeable difference in the bullpen when Dave was there versus what before he got there.
It was pretty crazy. Like, he has and it's due to him, so much respect in the game.
It's a truly magnetic personality. People talk about having a magnetic personality, but, like, I think they just kind of throw that out there. Dave Roberts is magnetic. I wanted, as a fan who was separated from him by hundreds of feet and a couple chain link fences, wanted to be where Dave Roberts was.
100%.
And, like, you can see that in the kids playing catch, and they'd stop and look when him and would walk by with, like, Tyler Glasnow.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. Like, what an effect that a coaching staff and a manager can have. And, like, when you ask somebody like Mookie Betts, who's won Gold Gloves, been an All-Star in one World Series, and an MVP at the right field position.
Right.
I don't know if Mookie Betts moves to shortstop if Dave Roberts is manager. I'm not in the clubhouse. I don't know what the interaction's like, but it can't have hurt.
I see where you're coming from. Yeah, of course.
You know,
of
and course. That's why the great teams are great, because they have great leaders.
Yes. I mean, guys, you got to get spring training, mainly because also, too, Parrott Parker, we were like 15 feet away from, like, Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow.
One, like, of the coolest things,
my God,
we got to see today was one of the Dodgers coaches. First of all, the field was horseshoed by people. Like, there's, like, these cool, like, stone-stepped benches around the backstop of a lot of these fields.
Yeah.
And they were full by a couple hundred Dodgers fans just watching some guys take BP. We didn't 100%. Know who they were. They were looked like they were younger, probably young draftees. Well, I rolled up there and I started, you know, videotaping, and the lady next to me goes, "Do you know who that is?" And I was like, "No." And she mentioned the name of one of the coaches, and I don't know exactly what the coach's name was, but she said, "Those are his sons taking batting practice, and he's throwing batting practice to them." And these two kids were sitting there, first of all, taking great hacks off their dad, in full Dodgers gear on a Dodgers practice field at Dodgers spring training with Blake Snell.
Standing there, watching
standing
them.
Standing there, talking hanging to out. Them, hanging out, chopping it up. And, like, you can't put a value on the experience of meeting and talking to and talking ball with a guy like Blake Snell.
Right.
And those kids, I hope they were soaking it up, because that's like a dream come true.
I'll tell you what, I go back to the kids thing, and it's different having kids.
Yeah.
You feel this, I think, even more, but, like, I can't even really explain it. Like, sitting there watching all of these kids get so excited brought me back to what I felt when I was a kid and getting into baseball so deeply when I was a kid and having it just guide my whole life. And I saw it myself totally reflected in these kids, and, like, I lived vicariously through them, even though I was experiencing the same thing. It was really, really cool. Like, we owe it to them to continue to get more kids into baseball.
For sure. Grow the game.
Man. I love that. That's my favorite part of it.
I remember being a kid and going to, like, Norfolk Tides baseball games, and I would always try to make sure that we went when the Pawtucket Red Sox were in town.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember getting Jed Lowry's autograph.
Jed Lowry. How about that? That's a name.
Yeah, Jed Lowry. There's a name. I think we talked about him earlier today.
We did. He probably came up.
Yeah. But, like, that was a big – I remember that. Like, it was yesterday. I remember he told me to tell my dad to clean his hat, because typical Boston fan, like, torn up, like, sticky, sweaty hat.
Yeah, right. Sweat stain
and
hat.
And Jed's just like, tell your dad to wash his hat.
Yeah.
And I gave it to – I remember bringing it back to the seat to my dad, and it was like – I was like, Jed told me to tell you to wash your hat. He goes, no. It's super funny. It stuck with me, but, like, baseball moments as a kid.
Yeah, man.
Like, that's what it's all about. And I was so happy for all those kids. Just playing catch, like, next to the field where Blake Snell's chopping it up with the coach's kids, and Dave Roberts is walking through the tunnel 100 feet away. Like, that's the dream.
This is probably, I'm going to be honest with you, Parker. Like, I feel personally that I needed this trip probably now more than ever for a few reasons. Because, like, I feel like, not to get very deep in meta here, but now more than ever, like, I needed to go to a place where everyone was speaking the same language.
Yeah.
Like, we were there because we're all in it together. We're here because we love this sport. We're here because we're all excited about this one thing. Mm-hmm. And nothing else was on my mind. Nothing else really mattered. Like, it was, we're here doing this thing that we love, and we're in the Disney World for it.
Yeah.
And
we called it Disney World for baseball so many times this week.
Yeah. And it was probably the coolest 2 days I've had. It's up there for me. It's up there for me, man.
It's not, there's like this many places, one place in the world where you can go and somebody says, hey, that's Chase Meidroth at second. And the person next to you picks it up as you say it and knows exactly who that is and gets excited about the fact that he's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there's something magical about that.
Yeah, there
is. There's something magical about watching infield drills with a bunch of sick fucks who like that shit. And, like, you really got to be a sick fuck.
You do.
To enjoy that shit. And that was what this week was all about. Getting down into, like, the grassroots of baseball. It truly felt like a pilgrimage. It truly felt like just a life-changing is a bit much, but fandom changing?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yeah. I feel closer to my team. And from my perspective, I mean, we're talking about the White Sox here. I feel like I needed that rejuvenation with everything they're going on right now. Like, I'm optimistic.
What a year for you to come. I mean, it's after the worst year in baseball history. And you get to come and you get to see it all. It's unless you come here and see it, you're just taking people's word for it that, the prospects are working. They're coming up.
100%.
But, like, you got to see it.
Yeah, I needed it. Like, this was the perfect time for me as a White Sox fan to get that. It makes me feel even more excited, and you feel this too, more excited as if that's even possible for opening day.
Oh, my God.
For things like MLB The Show.
Yeah.
Sign me up for that next week.
Right? We're 8 days away from playing MLB The Show. Oh, my God.
Like, it's crazy. There's no words. There's really not enough words. I mean, you said
it's actually, you know what's funny? At the moment of recording, we are 7 days and 3 minutes away from the drop of MLB The Show. So 1 week.
I'm so freaking excited.
Yeah.
I'm more excited now than I was 2 days ago.
Oh, for sure.
Without a doubt. You said Jed Lowry. How about Brett Lowry? How about that?
Blue Jays legend.
White Sox legend.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
White Sox legend.
Shut the front door.
Yeah.
How about that? Oh. The White Sox have many, many a legend.
Yeah.
Many a legend. We talked about this. We talked about yesterday how often the White Sox will sign guys at the very, very back end of their career.
Okay.
Okay.
You want another Blue Jays White Sox legend? You got me, Brett Lowry.
Alex Rios.
Alex Rios.
I knew you were gonna say
Alex
that.
Rios.
Alex Rios. That
same era.
Same era.
They played on the same team at the same time. Era.
I knew you were gonna fucking say that.
Alex Rios.
Holy crap! Wow, that's nuts.
Greg Zahn. Blue Jays catcher.
Wow. Yeah.
Popped for on the Mitchell Report.
Did he?
Yep.
Oh.
I remember watching
wow.
Roger Clemens strike him out.
Of course you do. Roger Clemens, that will be the show. He'll be
there. Yeah, he'll be on the show.
That'll be very exciting. I'm excited for that. What do we got for the people? They're gonna see at least one video.
Well, we already dropped our Whataburger burger review.
Oh, which my God. Was... All right, hold on. Stop.
Okay,
stop,
we gotta stop, talk stop, about stop. The food this week.
Yeah, dude. Okay. I'm saying dude, like dudes and dudettes, okay? So it was my goal this week to introduce Parker to good food too, right? Like, I'm from Chicago.
It became a goal. I don't think it was leading in.
No, it wasn't. But it became a goal when we saw what we had available to us, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So I'm from Chicago. Great eats in Chicago, obviously. If you've been there, you know. Parker, number one, had the chance to try a Chicago dog. Parker. How did that go?
Spectacular.
You freaking loved it.
I think I ate it in like 34 seconds.
100%.
It was so good.
So good.
Yeah. I had never had a true Chicago dog. I thought I'd had, like, made them before, but I didn't realize everything that went into it.
Oh, it's yeah.
Like,
it's
the celery thing. Salt makes it.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, the poppy seed bun makes it. It's so good. I'm so happy I got to try that. Not only did we try the Chicago dog, we tried Whataburger for the first time.
Yeah, check that out.
Check that video out. I'm not even going to talk about it here. Check the video out.
Check it out.
Full, unfiltered thoughts on Whataburger. And then we also, randomly on the way to the Cubs game, look out the left window of my car, and there's a Portillo's right there on the corner, like, I don't know, a mile and a half from
Chicago
Cubs Park.
Chicago born and bred Portillo's. You're talking Chicago dogs, beefs, burgers, shakes.
Shakes. The chocolate cake shake.
My God.
It's a lot like, if you watch the Whataburger review, I talked about how the frozen hot chocolate milkshake was not a chocolate shake. It was a hot chocolate shake. There's a difference. I don't know how to explain it. It tasted different. That chocolate cake shake was not a chocolate shake. It was not a vanilla shake. It was a chocolate cake shake. And it would taste different than any of those things.
I mean, you have to understand with this cake shake. I explained it to Parker. This is like a cup with ice cream with a piece of cake.
Yes.
Actual, I'm going to take this cake and I'm going to put it in the blender.
Yeah.
It's amazing. For my Chicago folks, you're singing praises right now. Yeah. I mean, it was, to see you try an Italian beef with hot peppers today, the cheese fries and the chocolate cake shake, I felt like a proud dad.
Let me tell you.
I was like, you know, yes. What?
Well, it was my favorite single time, like little like component of any of those food items today.
Yeah.
The pepper on the Chicago dog.
Yes. It's like so just the amount good. Of crunch and spice.
Crunch, it spice. Perfect. It's pickled, which is perfect. I love pickled anything, basically. Yeah. Yeah. The food was an unforeseen.
Yes.
Like huge high.
100%
this trip for sure.
But you did not get a Dodger dog.
No, because I've had Dodger dogs and they suck.
Oof.
Dodger dogs suck. Ooh, for the Dodger fans that are inevitably watching this, because for some reason it's the only demographic that watches this shit.
Sorry about it.
You guys have no clue what a good hot dog tastes like.
Oh shit.
So take that to the bank.
But, oh no. That's bad.
This was a fucking fantastic week, man.
It was. I mean, honestly, too. I mean, for those of you who don't know, Parker and I had. If you're a Star Wars fan, we highly recommend you go check out our friends at Youtini. They're awesome. We started working together doing the baseball show at Youtini. Yep. Obviously, we stopped that as part of them wanting to focus more on their really good Star Wars content, and we just missed talking baseball, Parker and I. And we decided to do late night baseball. And
how many times did we like joke but probe that we were going to start our own show?
Oh, God.
And both of us were like, oh, we want to do it, but we don't want to commit to it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. And then randomly one day, I forget who texted who, but we both agreed at the same time, like, we need to bring the show.
100%. And so all of that time when we've known each other, we've known each other for about 3 years now, but started doing this for a year when you count Youtini. We had never met each other in person.
No.
Like, he's in Cali. I'm in Chicago. We never meeting this week for something so cool like this, it's literally like I've known you for 15 years.
We
man.
Haven't shut the fuck up
no.
for two, We're 3 days now.
Annoying as shit. Our wives would hate being
if
with us.
If you
right
sat
now.
Next to us at one of those games, your ears are bleeding.
Yeah, you're
we
annoyed.
Did not stop talking about, like, in depth, like, it's this podcast is what our conversations sound like, guys.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
At the ball game, we're talking about OPS plus and what would happen if Michael Conforto has a good season. If you give us a team full of 105 OPS plus guys and a slightly above average rotation, you can make the playoffs. Like, that is 100% what we sound like on any given day in any given baseball conversation. And so it was super cool. It's really cool to be so close in proximity for a few days with somebody who can, like, talk about baseball to that extent. So I appreciate you coming out. This is
heck
awesome.
Yeah, man. We're going to do it again. I like I said, it's going to be so hard not to do this.
Yeah.
As often
and
as
we did do White Sox first.
We did do White Sox first.
So we might
thank
need
you for
to
that.
Do Red Sox next.
I told him I am game for going to Florida.
Yeah.
We need to do that next. It's only right. It's the right thing to do. I would love to go check out Mini Green Monster. Would love to see that.
That'd be super cool.
That's awesome. That'd be super cool. Should we wrap it up?
I think so, man.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. Make sure, folks, that you're like, you're checking out that video or drop a video, probably two. We'll see how it all shakes out. But that Whataburger video is already up.
Chris Davis, K-H-R-I-S.
A's Chris Davis.
Yep.
Man, that's a couple of years of 40 home runs right there. That's a pull. He was the Brent Rooker 10 years ago.
Yes, and it never, like, it was a flash in the pan. Because you 100%. Said it was like 2 years and then it was gone.
100%. Yeah. And he could not mimic that anywhere.
No.
Anywhere else.
Nope.
Anywhere else. Yeah. We're just going to have a show where we just spew names off to each other.
We are cool genuinely that. Those guys where it's the meme about guys can sit in a room and just name random athletes. And
or like movie quotes time. Or shit. Yeah.
That's literally what we've done for 100%. The last
100%. And we'll do it all again next year in Florida. So check out the video. Make sure you're doing that. The biggest thing I think people could do for us, honestly, Parker, is we have a chill thing going on here. We're having baseball conversations. The biggest thing you can do for us, honestly, is just share
it.
Share what we're doing on YouTube.
Yep. You're probably watching a short right now. Share it with your friends.
Yeah, please share it with your friends. We're hanging out. If you want to join the conversation, dude, leave the comments. Send us a note. We're here talking baseball and Parker. We had a really good week, and we are just getting started.
Yeah, baseball season hasn't even started.
Hasn't started.
No, not even a little bit. I got to get some sleep.
I'm with you. All right, everybody. Take care. We'll see you soon.